The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in on Still Just Fishing Show. We got Captain Chip Wingo here this morning with me.
Good morning, Vic.
And glad you come in here this morning. And I'm trying to stay dry, I guess. yesterday it was hard to stay dry out there. Well, I'm telling you what, man, it rained off and on all day. We kind of, you know, worked around the storms and stuff like that. But, you know, we managed to pull a few fish out and got some nice, you know, nice reds and real nice sheep's head, man. Got a real nice sheep's head in shallow water. And I'm kind of surprised he was so shallow. I'm kind of surprised we didn't see him moving around or something, you know. But anyway, he was about 6.5 pounds. So.
Oh, that is a nice one.
Yeah, for him to be in there. Of course, if you ever have that, you know, a quarter of a crab out there and you feel that little tap, you know, a little nibble, like it's usually not a redfish.
I noticed that the other day when I was using cracked crab on the grass line. I think it's because of some of the flood tides we had.
Yeah,
sheephead were pushing around because it was chewed.
Oh yeah,
you know, it wasn't picked apart by a pinfish. I mean, it was literally chewed.
You see the shell being chewed. Yeah,
so
Unfortunately for everybody out there right now, we've got the phone line seemed to be down for some reason this morning. So hopefully we'll, you know, get him working again before the show's over with. But so if you're trying to call and you can't get through, it's not your phone. Looking at the weather today, it's not supposed to be near the chance of rain like Alan was talking about. A little bit, you know, sunnier today at times. And I know it's showing here about five knots with gusts of 7 out of the west and then turning northwest later today, too. So, you know, the forecast for tomorrow looks like it's going to be a little less rain than it was yesterday. And looking at Monday, actually Monday's showing pretty good there. Showing rain's not coming in until about 2 p.m. So hopefully they'll get that Jim King ramp back open again so people can get out there and have a place to park.
Yeah, with my charter being at 11 today, I'm kind of curious if I'll even get in the water.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of hard.
Well, I can get the boat in the water. It's then finding somewhere for the trailer.
Yeah. That's the bad part because I tell you what, it's right now with Joe Carlucci ramp being down also, and then there's no real parking at Palms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to launch at Palms yesterday, but, you know, that tide in there trying to get the boat on the trailer and off the trailer, that current in there rips around that boat ramp pretty bad at times. So
I used to do that with a canoe over there.
Oh wow.
And it was not fun.
I bet
it was tight,
man.
A kayak's even worse.
Yeah, I bet.
You better be launching quick.
Well, we got underneath Cutboard Creek Bridge there one time for about 30-35 minutes when a real, you know, heavy storm came in and we were watching it. And that's the photo I posted on the Facebook page. We were kind of rushing up to the bridge real quick and let that one go by, and it took about 35 minutes, and then we went back to fishing. So
yeah, you know. I kept looking at it. I was tackle fishing yesterday. I was going through all my tackle.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just kept looking at it going, man, I'm glad I'm not out there. Leon's like, it's a wet rat.
Yeah
I guess he was bull red fishing most of the day. So
So it, you know, it come off and on, man. It was just and you know, I mean, we fished through a lot of the light sprinkles and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we just put on raincoat and kept fishing. But when that hard one came through, it was so dark, I thought maybe we'd get some lightning, and it's what I was kind of concerned about, you know. But
there was some in the later evening, pretty heavy at the beach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully Mad Dog's out there this morning looking for bass for me to catch tomorrow. I'm supposed to go bass fishing tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Something different. compared to what we've been doing for the last, you know, the up and downs we've been having. I mean,
yeah,
you know, one day they bite and the next they don't. And then all of a sudden the trout showed up like crazy.
Mm.
You know, I mean, nice trout. We had that day where I had 16 trout, 15 of them were legal.
Man.
And I'm like, wait a second. And it was, you know, around the Beach Boulevard area, but it was every single run down this one oyster bar, you know, big fish. And then we caught the one on the pogie that was 22 and a half inches and on a 6-inch pogie.
Yeah, boy, he was hungry.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he inhaled it, too. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
The size, the size of mouth they have like that, it's, I mean, they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, we were bull red fishing the other day, too, and caught a yellowmouth, a bigger yellowmouth trout on a big pogie. You know, because I was watching the rod, and it's jumping around. I'm like, there's something on there. I told the guy, reel it up, and he reels it up, and I'm like looking at it. I said, that's not what we're looking for. You know, it just tells you what's actually down there on the bottom while you're bull red fishing.
Yeah, you know? Because we actually, right before I hurt my arm, it was just a couple of days before I hurt my arm, which tomorrow will be 2 weeks ago, we were out there bull red fishing with crab and got a real nice sheep's head.
Nice.
You know, so I mean, there, like you say, there's just no telling what's down there.
It's weird how those fish will turn on one bait and won't eat another. I mean, I was up there last week. I threw mullet out, pogies, and crab.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't eat the crab, wouldn't eat the mullet. All they wanted was pogies.
That's crazy.
So I swapped them all out. And I saw somebody lost an anchor over there, too. Did you see that?
No, huh?
There's an anchor that's got a couple floats on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's stuck. And unless Leon got it up with his anchor ball yesterday. But I was like, wow, if it gets too heavy, I'll just pull over there and tie off on that. So put a slip knot on it and, just, you know, let it go.
Use it.
Yeah, so.
I wonder how much rope's on that because.
It swings quite a bit.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I watched it.
Where is it at?
It's sort of off that sign, but a little bit south of it, up and south. But it swings. If you watch how far those fenders swing that they tied off to it, you can tell he's had a pretty decent amount of scope in it.
That's what you kind of worry about when you get your boat around it, you know, getting it wrapped around your motor or something like that. But I would think it's hard to get an anchor stuck in there. I don't know what kind of anchor it'd be, but I have a hard time getting an anchor.
I know to hold, right?
Yeah. I mean, I try to get in there on, you know, sometimes the current's really running, try to get in there a little early. And trolling motor won't hold because it's running so hard, you know, especially on these flood tides.
Yeah.
And the anchor just kind of bounces across the rocks or rolls them over. It's, you know, it doesn't really, and that's a rock anchor. That's a 6-prong rock anchor,
which
you figure would grab something.
I mean, I put mine out the other day with 120 feet of line or scope, and it wouldn't hold. And it would finally hold, and then we'd hook up a bull red, and the fish fighting would pull us off of it.
Oh, wow.
So at one point I had my motor in gear, just in gear, and the anchor, and it was holding me. So I'm like, all right, we'll sit here. And then, of course, the fish are still biting. They don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, much noise comes by them all the time. But,
yeah,
you know, it was just kind of funny. It seems like when your depth recorder's on, it bothers them. When the motor's running, it doesn't.
That's so weird. So,
you know, I find the spot, shut it off, because everybody's like, I'm marking them. I'm like, I don't ever look for them.
I don't either.
I know where they're coming to. And what a lot of people don't understand is those fish are drifting by a lot of times. You know, because I've sat there and watched on the recorder, you know, and they'll drift by. And I think they just drift by, and then they get into that zone, and then they turn around and eat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, once they smell that bait, you know, or feel, like you say, with a pogie, feel that vibration, that pogie down there trying to fight the line, you know, and the sinkers, you know. But I think, and with that crab, a lot of times it's that smell, you know, ladyfish, stuff like that.
Remind me, when we come back, and remind me to tell you about this thing I put on my line the other day Leon gave me that actually worked pretty good.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, I saw Leon's stingray that he posted also. Kind of surprised he got it sitting there like that, holding it down. But
I'm surprised they don't come in the boat on mine.
No, me either.
We caught one the other day too that was pretty big.
I keep them outside the boat. I try to get the hook out of them best I can, you know, out there. But you turn their back over against the boat, sometimes they, you know, you hope they don't get you. Anyway, this is where I'd usually give the number out, but we still got some phone problems. But we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. We're Still Just Fishing Show, and we actually got phone lines, I think, going on now. So maybe Captain Chris Nichols will give us a call and let us know about the Kingfish Tournament, what's going on with that. I know he's been volunteering out there this week.
Oh, has he?
So if you're tuning in, Chris, maybe try to give us a call and let us know what's going on. We got the marine forecast from NOAA showing west-southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Tomorrow, south-southwest winds 15 to 20 knots. Oof. Seas 2 to 4 feet. Wow. That's going to bump it up some. But Monday, south winds 15 to 20 knots. Tuesday, south winds 10 to 15 knots. I didn't think it was going to be picking up that much. I know the wind was blowing yesterday more so than what they said it was going to. And I got out there and had to launch the boat real early. I think I got it in the water at 4:45, something like that.
Sound like me.
And getting up so early like that. But I had a charger that I had booked a couple of months ago from people that were down from Seattle. And, you know, fishing with some with Doug, which owns Cross Creek. Got to turn my sound down. And so anyway, they had that trip booked before the Kingfish Tournament dates that before I found out about the Kingfish tournament dates. But being that they had Joe Carlucci ramp still closed because of the damage, I really didn't want to work this week, you know, because of that. So, because it's tough, man. I'm trying to find a parking place. Like you say, you get out there, and, you know, once you get the boat in the water, then you got to find a place for the trailer.
I know today is going to be interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully they'll get the thing open back up. And, you know, I think they said the 22nd, it was supposed to be closed the 16th through the 22nd, which, of course, I have to even look at this. Let's see, today's 21st, so tomorrow's 22nd. So they'll probably get it open sometime tomorrow afternoon. You know.
Yeah, it's not fun when you have to put the boat in the water and then try to find a place with a trailer when you're got clients showing up, or the fact they can't find a place to park, period.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, and we battle with the restaurant that's at Beach Boulevard. You know, I mean, I've come in to park and to do an afternoon trip, and all the parking spots are full from just regular vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but if your client parks in one of their slots, they'll have it ticketed or towed.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. So, But then you got Palms. You got the same situation over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you the restaurant over there, people will park all over the place. You know, and usually on the weekend, if you come up, if you come up to that dot, you know, to try to use restroom or something, or people telling me they come up to the dot try to get the boat on the trailer, everybody's tied off at the dot.
You know, to go to the restaurant,
mm-hmm. You know, so hopefully they'll get something done with this Joe Carlucci ramp. And I know it's supposed to put longer docks there, you know, to take up to 10 boats.
Gotcha.
Where they had just the 2 30-foot docks there where you could only get one boat at each dock, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, if they get those longer docks put in there, that's going to help a lot.
Well, I don't know if you saw the video that was posted on Facebook about docks in general in the state of Florida, how bad all the boat ramps are. It's not just Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that infrastructure has been going down for a while. And, you know, they said we had, I think it was 10 years ago, there were 7 million registered boats, and now there's 12 million, which is a lot of boats.
Yeah, I don't see why we're on the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak.
Or the food chain.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the, you know, the Jaguars need something, you know, they'll find, you know, 30, 40 million for that, but they cannot fix these boat ramps, and they cannot, you know, keep them in good shape, the cleats on the docks, you know, the stuff on the sides of the docks and things. I mean, you know, that one at, Jim King, it's got that hard plastic that protects that dock, mm-hmm. but let me tell you, it'll mess up a wrap on a boat.
Oh yeah, so it'll mess up anything.
Yeah.
Well, if you consider the fact that the average registration for a boat, let's say, is $35, when you look at 7 million to 12 million boats, where, you know, come on,
yeah,
there's got to be something in there to kick back to, you know, take care of everything else. I said that, I think they said there was 650,000 jobs related to boats in the state of Florida. You know, I mean, that's a lot of jobs.
Well, and not just the boats, but the fishing industry in the state of Florida is a $9 billion business.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's bait shops and all that included, you know, but that's not just boat sales, because boat, you know, a lot of boat sales are, you know, people out, you know, joyride and stuff like that. But they say the fishing industry is $9 billion. And, you know, and I can kind of understand, you know, waiting on FEMA money and stuff like this. But we're almost a year since Joe Carlucci's been tore up. And, you know, I mean, normally I would say anybody could see this was going to be a problem. I mean, I don't think the Kingfish tournament really brings as much money to this town like they think it does. You know, because you have a lot of local people here that fish it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, and you get some people in South Georgia and stuff like that, they come down here and fish it. But, you know, a lot of times these people are not like staying in hotels and, you know, and all this stuff. So it's not like you're bringing in a whole bunch of money to, you know, to warrant, you know, having that ramp completely closed down. And I think what they should have done, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but I think they should have put the Kingfish tournament at the Joe Carlucci ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they could put temporary floating docks there, you know, just for the weigh in and stuff like that, like they do, you know, at, mm-hmm. at Jim King. I mean, they put in the docks over there that, that are temporary docks just to, for the Kingfish tournament. So, if they did that, they could have left Jim King open and, you know, it would have really been a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But, I even talked to some of the people that, you know, usually fish the tournament at the bait shops and stuff, and they tell me they weren't fishing the tournament this year because there was, they knew it was going to be a problem trying to park somewhere.
Gotcha.
And so I think the Kingfish tournament even lost a lot of money just because Joe Carlucci wasn't repaired.
Well, I mean, you got to put in somewhere, especially if you have that many boats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of funny because we had I guess the wellhead went bad or it was leaking at Beach Boulevard ramp. Mm. So we had no water on the cleaning station. And, you know, John Eggers and would put a bucket on a rope so you could pull up and rinse the table off. Well, we kept writing letters, emails, and everything else trying to get it fixed. Well, they finally came out. They put a tank, a water tank, right next to the table. And they're paying the city workers whatever they're paying per hour every day to come out and top that thing off with water. And it has a red hand pump.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm looking at the cost of that on a daily basis.
Compared to just fixing it.
To fixing the wellhead. You know, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're grateful the fact that we have some water, you know, because if you clean a fish, I mean, the worst thing in the world is not having running water. Yeah. So nobody cleans up after themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
it's not just a matter of rinsing the fillets when you're through.
No.
Because you can do that at home. You just slip in the bag and, you know, people could take them home and do that at home. But like you say, then your whole table's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. But what I was going to tell you earlier about that thing I use, Leon came up with he found this rattle. It's an inline rattle that you can tie on either side. You can actually use it as a split ring with an egg weight if you're using live mullet, and it rattles. So when the bait's moving around, it rattles pretty good. Well, I put it on my bull red rig, and it's not trusting the strength of that
right.
with 50, 60-pound fluorocarbon. I just used a little bit of line and clipped it on to the actual swivel, and that rod got hit more than any other rod. And it was making that rattle.
See, that's weird. Where did he get him at? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'm going to get some from him. He comes up with some different stuff like that. But he loves using it with live mullet, you know, when you're fishing for redfish, smaller redfish and things like that, because it makes so much noise.
Yeah, it's actually when he's – and probably the, you know, slot size red or something like that may not break it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's why he uses it like he does. But, yeah, I wouldn't trust it with a bull red.
I'm going to put the test to it. I'll tie it to the bumper and put the truck in neutral and see how far I can go before it breaks. But got to try it somehow.
Yeah.
Put it on a boger grip and put 30 pounds of pressure on it. So
That'd be a good test on it. You know, but I mean, it made out of plastic, right? I'm assuming it's made out of plastic.
I think the wire goes all the way through it, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
And if it does, it'll work perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
if the wire goes from swivel to swivel or whatever, and they actually have a swivel on it, I mean, is it?
Yeah, it doesn't really turn as much per se.
Yeah.
But it does have the loops on the end.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, that would be interesting. That'd be probably pretty good too on a Cajun Thunder. And if you used a Mud Minnow on a Cajun Thunder.
Yeah. Well, Rob, the corks I'm getting from Rob now have the rattles in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the weighted version anyway, especially with pogies fishing for tarpon and anything else. I mean, you can wing them a mile.
Oh, yeah.
In the wind and everything else. So.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't understand how some, you know, some people are able to use the ones that's just got the plastic beads on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hardly throw those things, you know? So, I mean, you have to have a super light line to be able to throw those.
Well, the average client can't cast one. Yeah. Unless you get them, you know, the one that Rob has with the weights, the Pro Popper.
Yeah, I like the ones with the weights on them because they do work a whole lot better. Anyway, 222-8255 is the number to call us. I think we got phone lines, so give us a call.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB. With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Members of 17 people killed when a tourist boat sank at a Branson lake were members of the same Indiana family. They likely would not have been on the ill-fated trip, but were being told it was caused by a ticket mix-up. Tracy Beck of Kansas City, Missouri, says she recalled the family members waiting in line after they stopped for a photo. She said a ticket taker realized they should have boarded at a different location and then reassigned them. President Trump weighing in once again on the NFL protest involving the national anthem. The president tweeted on Friday he can't believe the debate has reignited. He's proposing penalties of a one-game suspension for anybody who kneels in a game and suspension for the season for kneeling a second time. Gaza's militant Hamas rulers say they've accepted a ceasefire ending an Israeli attack on militant positions after an Israeli soldier was shot dead. More details at srnnews.com.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a health care plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
You can step up to luxury now.
Hello, I'm Dan Fields of Fields Auto Group. Whatever you're driving, see Fields first and step up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Jacksonville and Mercedes-Benz of Orange Park.
And now you can lease a new 2018 Mercedes-Benz GLC 300 for only $419 per month for 36 months.
Like a family that's been here for a long time, makes a difference. Where I do my business, I want to be appreciated. It's conveyed here.
Make 2018 your year to step up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Jacksonville on Atlantic Boulevard and Mercedes-Benz of Orange Park on Blanding Boulevard. Or you can see Fields first at MercedesBenzOfJacksonville.com and MercedesBenzOfOrangePark.com.
The staff has gone up and beyond my expectations, especially when you come in to get your car serviced. It's a neat experience for me.
Available to qualified lessees. 4203 due at signing, plus title tax license and $695 dock fee. MSRP 42975. For details, call 1-800-4-MERCEDES. Offer end 7/31/18.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Traffic still looking good around town. Watch out for the few locations that are under construction right now. Salute that just a hair. Got to be mostly sunny today and looking for high 91, low 77, about a 20% chance of showers. Cloudy tomorrow, high near 90. Currently 77 right here at AM 600. WBOB, Fishing Guys next.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. We're Still Just Fishing Show, and we got Captain Leon on. Morning, Leon.
Good morning, Terry. Yeah, I'm here, Vic. Sorry. Slow picking up the phone this morning. Is Chubbs in there with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm here, too.
Yeah.
That's called ballast.
Oh, man.
It's called ballast.
Yeah, I really hope this morning's better.
Yeah.
Chip, I've already had a morning star right out of the gate this morning, so I hope it only gets better. Julie decided to go chase down and actually catch an armadillo this morning in the backyard.
Oh,
and attempt to bring it into the house. dear God. I mean, it was a fiasco.
I bet it was, man.
And I had to get right back. And here I am trying to get ready to go out on a charter right now as we speak. So I'm like, great. And the house gets showed twice today. So I'm like, oh, that's just great. Oh, what could be worse?
Did they bring that up as a surprise, or did you have already had that scheduled? Your house showing?
House showing's today, this afternoon. I didn't have a choice in that.
Oh, okay. I gotta
sell this darn place.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So, anyways, heading down to the valley today. I got a high tide. So, I'm going to fish that entire outgoing tide today and see if I can catch these ambushes fish coming out of the backwaters. I'm going to fish one of your techniques of using cut crab up against the grass.
Yeah, it should be. And I throw it right up in the grass, you know, when it's high like that.
Right.
You know, so, you know.
And I think that's something you really need to emphasize. In the grass.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I overshot it. No, you didn't. I put it right where I wanted it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most people sit it on the outskirts. No, you want it in dead nuts in that grass.
Yeah, if you don't throw it, bass fishing. If you don't throw it in the grass at higher water,
yeah.
You won't catch them.
Yeah, actually, there's some places where we throw it, believe it or not, about 15 foot up in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it gets flooded that good, yeah. You know, and I don't do it in real thick grass, of course. But, you know, sure. Y'all have probably seen the same situation. I've been in places where, you know, you got about 4 or 5 feet of sparse grass, you know, and where it's not really thick. And then all of a sudden it gets thick. And sometimes those fish are up there in that thick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, real thick. It's like, how did they swim up in there?
Well, that's where the bait is.
yeah, exactly. So that's where you want to get it up in there. And that's where we catch, you know, usually quite a few sheep's head up in there like that, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But there's some places usually I'll throw it about, you know, 5-6 feet up in the grass like that or whatever. And yeah, you know, when you hook that fish, if you don't try to really just rip him out of that grass, a lot of times he'll wallow around that grass for about 10-15 seconds and he'll head.
And then hook's gone.
Well, he'll head for open water a lot of times if you're not trying to, you know, like rip him out of there real hard.
Mm-hmm.
They see that that's not working, you know, and, they'll just head for open water. And once they come out of that grass, then you can fight them good, you know.
I've had a problem with people that'll just take too much time and they'll get up in the grass and then they just, all of a sudden, you got just a hook.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yep.
And you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Leon, I'd try some.
Send it back over there.
I'd try some mullet this morning, too, especially those little knuckle mullet.
I'm not going to find them. It's high tide.
You should be able to find them.
No way. There's no way. Not with this high of a tide.
I got you. Because they're all up on the surface down and around Beach Boulevard like that at high tide.
They're way back in that grass, man. There's just no way I'm going to get to those turkeys. So,
all right.
I'm going to throw some popping course with some mud minnows and shrimp. And then, obviously, I'll put some no-brainers out. So I'm going to fish some creek mouse also.
Yeah.
Get down around. I think I'm going to go down around Pine Island today.
Nice.
But Chip was talking about these little rattles. Where'd you find those at?
Oh, he told you about those.
Yeah, they work really well on bull red rigs too.
You dirty dog. The Texas Rattler.
Uh-huh.
Look them up online. It's a rattle chamber with little BBs inside of them, and I mean like little, like 9-shot size, maybe 10-shot size BBs.
Uh-huh.
And we'll freeline them also for trout, you know. Maybe put a foot of leader behind that rattle chamber with a wire hook,
yeah,
and throw that mullet out there. And literally, you'll cast it upstream. You'll keep up with the slack, but you'll shake the rod tip side to side, not up and down, and it makes that rattle chamber rattle. And I mean, the redfish and the trout, they'll knock the daylights out of that thing.
Well, yes, and do you know if that wire goes all the way through it? I mean,
no.
It doesn't?
It's a mold. If I give you one, you'll see it. I mean, you know what? I'll take a picture and send it to you. It's a molded chamber, kind of like a lure.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if lures have wire running all the way through them, but, you know, well, most of them don't. You know, they're just an injection molded thing. So,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Chip showed me a picture of them right now.
I got you. Okay.
So that's different cool. Different sizes, different lengths.
Yeah, they got different sizes and lengths. There's no doubt about that. And,
they work really well in the grass, too.
Tom Bortier showed them to me. That's who it is.
Yeah. When
got them out of Texas somewhere.
So are you using that in line?
With my live bait, I am, but I'm not. No, of course not. Not with a crab.
Yeah. So yeah. That's why I was just wondering with, how strong they are as far as, you get a 30-inch rod up in the creek. Oh, really?
They come in red, chartreuse, silver, and gold.
Yeah, I tied one on to the actual swivel of my leader, bull red fishing, and it was getting more hits than anything else.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, because of that little, down there. It makes sense. Everything, the crabs make that sound. Fish does.
Water, no doubt.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, man, those darn stingrays were just murder. They've been murdered the last 2 days.
That's why you got to have some crab out. They won't eat that crab as fast as they'll eat that pogie.
I'm telling you, man. You'd watch, you're sitting there, you see the tickle, tickle, tickle. Oh, boom. You're like, get him, boy. And all of a sudden, that thing is ripping line. I go, that's not a red.
Yeah, he's not bouncing the rod stuff. He's just ripping line.
He's ripping line, gets out 100 yards. Bull red's not going to run 100 yards. And then it starts heading up towards the surface. I'm like, yep. All right, fight that guy for a little while because I want that 10-ounce weight back.
Yeah, because, using those croakers, sometimes you'll get a raise on them, but the raise on those little croakers are real huge,
Yeah.
Yeah, the one we had the other day was pretty big, and it took forever to get it up. I had to basically lock the drag down to get him up.
Yeah, because if they
forget, tell Vic about the demon, the beast.
Yeah, the 250 yards of screamed out drag in 30 seconds.
God, Vic. It was not amusing to watch. It was interesting to watch.
Yeah,
it was painful at the same time because I went, "Yep, there goes $40 worth of line."
Yeah,
250 yards of 50 is more than $40.
Vic, he looks at me. He's holding onto the rod, just puts one hand up there, and he goes, "It's gone." And I could just hear the drag. He had the clicker on.
Yeah.
It sounded like a smoker kingfish.
Yeah,
like,
man.
My clients were like, "What you got?" I go, "Something that's going to take it all."
Yeah. And it was funny. It's that new line that I like so much that was on sale.
Oh, man.
That yellow? Yeah.
All
right, guys, I got to fill up this boat and I got to get to the water.
All right, Lee.
Give me a call later.
All right.
Appreciate the call, Lee.
Glad you're back on the water, brother.
Yeah, me too.
All right,
buddy. Take care. Let's get Rob on. Ain't got very long, but good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Captain.
How you doing?
You too, Chip.
Good morning, Rob.
That rattle system, and I too have come up with an independent rattle system that needs testing.
As long as it has a wire all the way through it, it'll be good. Not break them off. But, yeah, I'll test it out.
Right on.
I'm always testing something.
How is it made? I mean, do you have the wire goes from one end to the other?
No. Actually, it'll slip right on your line.
Oh, that's right. The one you put on the spinnerbait?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that'll work. He's got the spinnerbaits I've been throwing through him. Well, 2 weeks ago, we had a really good topwater bite, and the client that I had on board was throwing topwater, and I was throwing the spinnerbait right behind him and catching his fish. There's a rattle that's on the wire, which creates more sound, and it was working really well.
Well, Rob, I'm going to put you on hold, and then when we come back, maybe you can kind of describe it.
All righty, sir.
Okay. And as you can see, everybody, we got our phone lines up. So 222-8255, 222-TALK. Give us a call. Also, I understand we're on 101.1 FM, but the AM station for some reason. Oh, we're on it now? Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, if you was listening to it online, I was just going to tell you that the AM station was down, but now it's up. So, hopefully we're up and running on full force again. So anyway, give us a call if you like. 222-8255. We'll be back.
That's the man in the booth.
Ha! Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Hey, boaters. Are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
The soothing sounds of the carefree life of coastal birds. You too can have a worry-free life by letting Frontline Insurance navigate your path to stress-free home ownership. At Frontline, we've been there for Floridians when the seas were more than a little choppy. Nearly 90% of Frontline's policyholders were paid within 3 weeks of having the damage to their home inspected after Hurricane Irma. Let Frontline Insurance be your lifeline to security and peace of mind. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. We've got Rob on the phone here. He's talking about the little rattles on the spinners, spinner baits stuff. And so those rattles you got that you put on the spinner baits, I mean, they're actually, when you buy the spinner bait, they're already on there, Rob?
Well, I take and put them on there. They're glass rattles.
Yeah.
And first I take and slide a couple of crimp sleeves up on the wire. And then I attach the glass rattle with some heat-activated thermoplastic heat shrink.
Yeah, they work good. They stay in place.
Yeah, they stay right in place. I put them on the crimp sleeve, that's not crimped, by the way, so that it can go with the, it can turn around the wire and not create an abnormal obstruction to water flow. And I've got the same thing, that it'll slide right on your main line ahead of your knot where you tie on your jig or whatever. And last night I was trying something else, and I said, oh, I bet I could put a rattle on that chatterbait.
Well, and I know the vibration that a spinnerbait has to start with has got to make that rattle, you know, pretty noisy.
Sure. Yeah, it works really good.
You know, because that spinnerbait's already got a ton of vibration just from the spinnerbait, you know, being a spinnerbait, you know.
Right. That was my thought on putting the rattle on there, is it's just going to create a big commotion and draw fish from even further away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows me knows that I've got an obsession with rattles for the last 10, 12 years.
Flash, rattle, and vibration.
I'm surprised they haven't nicknamed me Rattling Rob or something like that.
Well, that might be, you might have just tagged yourself.
I think it's more like Rambling Rob. So,
oh, come on, Chipperoo.
Rambling, Rattling Rob.
No, well, anyway, y'all have a great show. It took me a while to find y'all today. You got to see a blind guy trying to tune a radio that he can't see the dial on.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's, we had a little problem there. We had a problem with the phone lines and a problem with the AM station, but I think we're all back up and running now pretty good.
That's what happens when you bring me in. Everything goes haywire.
Yeah, everything was great until Chip came in this morning.
Yeah. It's because I'm not wearing a hat.
Is that what it is?
Amateur alone.
Now, let me ask you, some of those rattles that you're talking about, are you selling just the rattle too?
I've thought about marketing the rattle either as a kit or made up to be slipped on.
I'm just curious. It's like, you know, putting one online, you know, when you're using mud men and stuff like that, you know, on a little fish finder rig or something, mm-hmm. you know, the lights, you know, quarter ounce sinker or something that you're throwing up in there. I know a lot of people still, instead of using jig heads, a lot of people still use, you know, the slip sinker and swivel and a leader. So, you know, with a mud minnow and things like that, even with cut crab, I noticed people use a lot of the fish finder rigs. And that's what I was kind of curious about. If you have a mud minnow on there, something that's going to, you know, or even a mullet that's going to wiggle, you know, a lot and be able to use, you know, to make that rattle make noise. Somebody could slip it on the line there, you know, the leader or whatever.
Right, right. You could, I mean, it'll work for that, but you can't have the lead slipping down and crushing it.
Yeah, but you can also put a piece of wire, Rob, on it with two ends, and gotcha. And then shrink wrap the rattle onto that wire, and then just do it in line. Gotcha. So that would work out real easy.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's just, so that way you can use it in line, which is where you get your best rattle from. So
way you could even use it, you know, just below your swivel or whatever on a fish finder rig, you know,
or use it as the swivel if it's made strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think your weight, because, you know, a lot of people don't use, now I have seen people, you know, being up in shallow water and throw a 2 ounce sinker out, you know. I mean, but you don't usually normally have that with people who, you know about noise and stuff like that in the shallows. So, you know, it's not like you're going to have a big weight that'll actually, you know, crush it, I don't think, if you're using it in a situation like that.
Yeah. I'll have it figured out any way it goes.
Yep.
Roger that.
Let us know how you do that. You know, let us
Alrighty,
know.
Alrighty, I sure
if
will.
If you got it figured out, let us know.
Hey, it only takes a moment to figure out variations that, you know, sometimes I can make it fisherman proof, and other times I got to struggle to make it fisherman proof.
Yeah, because fishermen are hard on tackle, I can tell you that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, really.
Ways to mess up what you've made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can do it really
or
quick.
Or even mess up a rod and reel or backlash a spinner or. Sometimes I get out there in the morning and I look at those lines that's on the spinner from the day before, and it's like, how did this line get in this?
Yeah, I know. As you're idling out, you cut the line, let it sit there and unwind. Yeah. Yeah, it's that constant reel.
Yeah.
What I always say, if it's squealing, stop reeling.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
So, but cool. I'll see you this afternoon, Rob.
All righty, buddy.
All right.
Y'all have a good show.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call, Rob.
All right. Bye-bye.
222-8255 is the number to call us. And what we were talking about with the rattle like that, if you could put it in line, if you've got a mud minnow that's, you know, when you first hook a mud minnow on, he's going to fight that line, that hook and everything. So he's going to really wiggle hard. And I know mullet do too, but after a little bit, you know, not very long, that mullet's just going to lay there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that mud minnow seems to fight that bait so much, you know, and that was one of the things that got me started using jig heads. Another is, of course, it don't tangle up as bad when you throw it out as a fish finder rig. But having the jig head like that, I mean, I would take and hook a mud minnow on a fish finder rig. And I'm talking years ago, you know, before actually, I think the first jig heads ever come out was using them for like speckled perch with minnows on them and stuff like that. But I don't think there was any of them strong enough at that period of time to catch a redfish on them.
Yeah. You know,
the hooks they had on was little wire hooks and stuff. But, you know, you could drop that minnow down beside the boat in that shallow water on a fish finder rig and also on a lead head jig. And that fish finder rig with that hook in him, I mean, he'd kind of wiggle a little bit, but after just a minute or so, he's just kind of more or less just trying to swim a little bit, you know.
Trying to stay in the current.
Yeah, and then you hook him on that lead head jig and drop him down, and he's, that weight right there doesn't let him swim back and forth.
No, and he's got a vibrator.
Yeah, he's fighting it, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons that that I started using jig heads, is just looking at that and seeing how that mudman is fighting that and thinking, you know, he's really doing a lot more attraction that way.
Well, you know, Rob makes the mini brainer,
mm-hmm.
and I like the 4-aught, and I'll take the 4-aught with a mullet, and it's big enough to where when the fish eats it, you know, the size of the 4-aught, it's a thin wire, more of a wire hook.
Mm-hmm.
It's big enough to where when the fish eats it, you know, it's hooked through the lips, he can still get it hooked in the corner of the mouth. But I'll cut the tail off the mullet,
mm-hmm.
and throw it up in the grass at high water. And I guess a little bit of scent trail and the vibration, mm-hmm. of the mullet moving around, because that mullet still moves pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and it works really well. I mean, it's easy for the client, you know,
yeah.
when it picked the rod up, you know, just reel, yeah. you know, and it's funny how that works.
Well, and looking at that, the different ways people have fished over the years and all, you know, looking at a redfish and reading everything I read about them over, you know, I don't know, the last 30 years or whatever. excuse me. But, you know, the scent has a big thing to do with redfish. I mean, they got two nostrils on each side.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a flow-through nostril is what they call it. And then they say whenever they get close enough, they've got such a big tongue that they can actually taste it
in the water. Wow.
So, you know, and there's different things as far as, you know, different articles. Some say, you know, they'll taste it if they're like 5 or 6 feet away from it. Some say they can actually, if you throw it out there and get a good scent trail, leave that bait sitting in one place, they can taste it 30 feet away. You know, and I can understand being able, especially with a cut mullet, he's bleeding,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you've got that little blood scent going down. I mean, everybody knows you go out there and take people shark fishing, all you got to do is cut a pogie and throw him down there, and they don't last two or three minutes.
It's tight.
You know, you got a shark on. And a lot of times, if you don't have a lot of sharks in there, you cut him or something, you got a redfish on, you know, at the jetties. But, you know, just having that little scent trail. So thinking about that, I don't know how far away they can taste it actually in the water, but they've got, if you look at a redfish, I mean, they got a huge tongue.
Yeah.
And, you know, that tongue has got to be for a purpose, you know.
True.
So, I mean, I would imagine they could taste that scent if it's in there pretty good.
Well, I mean, look at the way we bull redfish, trying to mm-hmm. get them to come up the, you know, the chum line,
right.
so to speak, with the baits we put out. It's the same way.
Yeah.
So.
Because like you were saying earlier, I don't look on my depth finder to mark the fish.
Mm-mm.
Because what I'm trying to do is bring them to me anyway, you know, from down the channel or whatever, you know. Anyway, we'll be right back.